Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. It's a beautiful day outside today. It is Election Day as well. If you have not done that, do your civic duty if you can.
Your duty.
I did it this morning. Didn't get a sticker. I'm going to be upset the rest of the day.
Fraud.
I know. How am I supposed to tell people I voted? I don't have the sticker. And the worst part is, Derek, finished up, walking out. I'm like, all right, cool. I got to go to work. I'm like 5 minutes away from the polling place. I'm like, I don't have a sticker. It never occurred to me.
Could you imagine just busting a UE just so you get the, like, you walk back in there and go, I never got my sticker.
Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, that would be an interesting way to live here. But, yeah, no, go do what you got to do there. And while you're doing it, you could be listening to us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. It's trade deadline day. And
will they do anything?
I bet you they do, because there's no coincidence that all of a sudden Taron Johnson had a restructuring of his contract to free up some cap space. Yeah, that's not an accident. That's not just something that they decided to do for no reason. There's a purpose behind that, and I'm going to be the one to say it right now to everyone. Hold on to your butts until about the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, Chris Trapasso had a good tweet yesterday, because Amari Cooper does not land on this. So if anyone asking for the Amari Cooper,
that is true.
He doesn't land on this. Just trade deadline day, time when the trades were announced or reported, it's around 3 to 3:30.
Yes.
Is usually when they've done it. We'll see if that changes this year. I'm fully prepared for a trade to break. We were on this show. It was me and Josh Schmidt when Stephon Diggs' trade broke, and we had to never forget the day having to pivot from talking about Stephon Diggs and if the Bills still trusted him as a number one receiver to going, cool, so the Bills got rid of him. Here's where we're at.
That is an interesting pivot. But yes, the tweet that we're mentioning from Chris Trapasso mentions three times that Bean did this. Amari Cooper, as you mentioned, is not on this. But that means that three of the four deadline deals are announced in the 3 o'clock hour or later. Calvin Benjamin was announced at 4:12 p.m., as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, so like one of those, like, hey, we're still getting rumblings here, you know, the league office has got to, you know, officially say yes, all that jazz.
Nyheim Hines was announced at, or reported at 3:57,
mm-hmm.
and Rasul Douglas was announced at 3:32.
So we may have a long day for us. The deadline is at 4. I will say, just right off the bat, we're not going to spend too much time on the Kansas City game. It is a much more positive, though, time for the trade deadline than it potentially could have been. I mean, if they were 5-3, I think there would have been a lot more hostility. I mean, maybe even for us, of just like, you need to do anything.
Anxiety, I think, is the right
anxiety
word.
Is probably the right way to put it. Where now it's, okay, they're 6-2. Now you're still in a battle for the one seed. Indy loses to Pittsburgh, kind of
right.
Stunningly. I mean, to be perfectly honest, they look terrible against the Steelers. You know, New England, you're still chasing. Now you've put Kansas City in a bind, and I haven't really heard their name too much in some of the trade rumblings, so we'll see if they do anything. But the cap space being freed up, I think they're sitting around $3 to $3.5 million now in cap space following the Taron Johnson restructuring. That does mean if they so choose, and if they really want to do it, they can make a few moves here. There are a number of guys with the cap hits that have we've all been talking about are under $1 million or around $1 million in a cap hit. So the Bills wouldn't have to do too much. They could just bring them on the roster. We'll figure this out in February, March, when the new season starts and we've got to start thinking towards 26, 27. Some of those names do include Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Carl Granderson. There's those are just the Saints guys.
Those are just the Saints guys.
And so they look, maybe that's glass half full. That's what got me curious last night by the restructuring of Taron Johnson's contract is because of the Hoyt injury, are they now going, okay, we're going to have to add two guys?
I look at, ready? Because of the Hoyt injury, I look at a player that played last night in Arizona, Calais Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
38 years old. It's a cap hit that you can easily manage, especially after the restructures now, that he's 38, but he still does play at a good level, would be a nice rotational piece, can play both D-end and D-tackle for you. Sound familiar?
Right. So he kind of could fill in the Hoyt role. It's very much the one-year rental.
Very lengthy wingspan, by the way. Calais Campbell has notably throughout his career consistently blocked field goals.
That's nice.
Because he does have that mm-hmm. extra reach. Because I think Campbell's like 6'8 or something like that.
Yeah. He's a bit of a physical freak.
So,
but he's a full one-year rental. Would be pretty cheap, so you wouldn't have to mortgage the future. I wonder, though, how much appetite the Bills would have for this. We haven't been able to talk too much on the trade deadline. Mainly just it's been far away. The NFL trade deadline is not like the NBA or the NHL or the MLB, where teams make multiple moves and they get frisky with it. It's not that. Usually, the Bills kind of participate. It's like one, maybe two deals in the period. Philadelphia's a bit more aggressive than you usually see. They've made three deals, although many of them have been very minor moves, not, you know, discounting Jalen Phillips, you know, third-round pick for an expiring contract for an edge rusher. They are obviously making some pretty big moves. The Rams, though, but I don't even know if those deals were necessarily on deadline day. For me, this is just more, do the Bills fill any of the holes they do have? I will say this, as someone that has given a lot of flack to Bean and the recent drafting, what have you, the young players have flashed for the Bills this year. Deion Walker, Max Harrison, in just two games, already looks like a huge difference maker for the Bills. He gets his first interception on what kind of looks like an arm punt, but he's still great the entire game and really lockdown worthy. Cole Bishop has really ascended in year two. Jordan Hancock seems to be the future at the second safety, maybe past this year, we'll see. But at least once he gets comfortable,
rotational piece.
I think Poyer will start to move down the ladder. Okay, you're going to be the depth guy, and that's fine. But he has looked pretty good as well this year. It should be noted. I mentioned Deion Walker endlessly with how good he's been. And then, while they are going to miss him, the free agent hits with Michael Hoyt was exceptional for seven quarters.
Michael Hoyt was, as Bills fans, we were ripped off. Not by Michael Hoyt, but by the season that he could have had.
Mm-hmm.
By circumstance, we were ripped off. Michael Hoyt was ripped off of a season. Because, you know, he mentions how the whole process happened with the suspension for the enhanced substances and how he effectively felt betrayed in that sort of way. But, again, you got seven quarters of lights out football from Michael Hoyt, and now you're only sitting here thinking what could have been. And it sounds similar to what has happened with Ed Oliver's season. It is a what could have been year, because in back-to-back weeks, you lose a defensive lineman that averaged a sack a game. And on a Bills team that is getting more consistency in its pass rush all of a sudden, having those two guys would have only made that stronger and better and even more terrifying. Welcome now, though, to the other infuriating thing about, granted, we're not going to talk much about Kansas City, but there is an infuriating aspect about that win. I saw the defensive line play amongst its best football there. And the last time I saw Kansas City, the defensive line had probably its worst football played. Are some pieces different? Yes. But in particular, Rousseau was fantastic in that game. In the AFC Championship game, it was probably his worst game of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just keep getting it done in January. Keep getting it done and get it done through January is really what I want to say on that.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, the defensive line has been playing great this year. Literally, outside of Denver, who has 40 sacks, the Bills are right around the area of being tied for second. Second place alone is Detroit at 28. The Bills are eighth with 25 sacks.
Broncos have 40 sacks.
That's like, but they're the complete outlier. A bunch of teams are clumped together within like 3 sacks of each other.
No wonder nobody scores in those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. Nick Benito, pretty sweet. Zach Allen, pretty sweet. You did see stuff from the Bills' defense the last 2 weeks. I think really since the bye, you can even go back further.
The second half of Atlanta.
That, okay, a light's flipped on, whatever it may be. I think there's real smoke to the fire that McDermott is calling plays now, or at least it is absolutely a joint effort between him and Babich. I think that would absolutely point to a difference in how they're playing. And look, Carolina goes out and beats Green Bay a week before that. They're getting absolutely dominated in every facet by the Bills at home. And then the Bills have maybe their best performance on defense against Mahomes, a career low for him in completion percentage, 15 hits, 3 sacks. They're all over him. I think my thing there with the defense and the addition, I think they may just have to do it purely off of bodies that have dropped. You know, yes, you are getting Daquan Jones back. We'll see about TJ Sanders and Shaq Thompson, what have you. But they've had a lot of key guys go down. Ed Oliver, the report Sunday morning was that they hope to get him back by wild card weekend or divisional round weekend. We'll see if that ends up being true, but it is still a torn bicep. So you don't want to lean on like, oh yeah, guys, but once he's back, he's going to be 100%. That is probably not the case. It could be, probably not. So I do look at a guy like a Carl Granderson, who, while hasn't had a sack in 5 games, was really good for the Saints to start the year. He has 4.5, and he kind of did that all within 3 weeks. And if you put him on a defensive line that has Joey Bosa feasting, AJ Epinesa and Greg Rousseau also doing a hell of a job back there, and now better coverage by the Bills. And that has been something. Why they've been able to get after the quarterback much better. The pressure rates were already high. That's why you keep hearing people were talking about Joey Bosa in such a positive. He was getting there. He just needed that half second more. Little bit tighter coverage for a quarterback to not make a throw. He's probably getting home. Or he's at least forcing a quarterback to escape the pocket, whatever. I think if you can go at a guy like a Carl Granderson, that could be a big boon for them. But I do still sit, Derek, with offense. And while, yes, Allen had a great game, I think his best game so far this year, 3 incompletions. He had the same amount of sacks as he did incompletions. It's pretty much all tight ends, which I don't want to say it's a bad thing and that's unsustainable. I think Kincaid, when he is on the field and healthy, is their best receiving weapon. And he can be. I think that's okay. But why I've always looked at Rashid Shaheed, or if you want to get after it and go Chris Olave, it spreads everybody else out. And right now, you're not getting anything from Keon Coleman. He is on the field more than any other receiver, but it seems to be just as a blocker. I mean, it feels like there's just nothing coming from Coleman since that fourth quarter against Baltimore all the way back in week 1. I mean, we are well past that now. And so if they can get a Rashid Shaheed or a Chris Olave, that opens up the offense so more. I think that just takes a lot of pressure off the defense as well.
I do think that there is something to the method of the Bills' madness where if they don't add a receiver, I'm not really going to be surprised at this point. And it's because of the fact that their offense, they probably do believe this is sustainable. The way that they're running the football consistently. I mean, the New England game looks like it is the true anomaly of that. Because Atlanta, yeah, Cook has less than 100 yards, but there at least is something there. I'm pretty sure he had less than 50 against the Patriots. But you mentioned the tight ends getting a lot of that production. Kincaid's on the field only 35% of the game.
Yeah, they haven't changed that to all of a sudden he's... was he third?
Third.
For the tight ends in how much he was on the field.
So that makes me think, though, oh, we'll use him more in the postseason. Because he's already productive now, seeing only 23 of the snaps out of a total of 66. Okay. Sign me up. I do suspect they will use him more if it needs to happen. They will keep using Knox and Hawes as well as they need to because they are the better blockers of the two, are they not?
Kincaid's been much better, but yes.
Kincaid's been much better, but you know, those two are the primary blockers, which means they are still going to be looking at James Cook and thinking, this is the guy. Joe DiBiase mentioned something, a tweet earlier in the morning of, do they look at maybe even, and this will send everyone into a rage.
Running back.
Adding a running back to help stabilize if James Cook misses any time at all.
Well, because I mean, that's been a big talking point already this year, is that outside of Cook, they're not getting anything from the run game. You know, he is not just a replaceable piece. I've mentioned this as well, kind of eating a little bit of crow, is he's not just a replaceable piece to them. He is probably the third or second best running back in the league this year. And then they're not getting really anything from Todd Johnson. And I think for me, at least, especially Ray Davis, who you would have thought when they drafted him, maybe is going to be the replacement for Cook if they don't sign him to a long-term deal. Of course, the summer sort of changed that idea. But then it really got solidified as the season has gone on, where Davis has just really become a non-factor.
Not to mention, though, more on Cook with this. James Cook is 28 yards away from the rushing lead, and he's played one less game than Jonathan Taylor. Yeah.
I didn't realize they were that close.
867 for Cook versus Taylor's 895.
Did not know they were that close.
And the Bills have had their bye week already. Adding a running back is a factor that I have to put a non-0% chance on.
Right.
And I know that will make people sick to their stomachs to even think that that's a possibility. Again, not my idea. I'm just mentioning
it. But I think it is right to mention, though, but this is their identity. This is how they're winning football games. And if Cook goes down, they may have a much bigger problem than, well, Josh Palmer goes down. It hurts them a little bit in Carolina. They don't really need it, though. The running game's fine. In Kansas City, it really didn't hurt them. Or against Kansas City.
I was going to say, against Atlanta is probably where it hurt them the most in that game. Otherwise, no. I think Josh Palmer's been okay as an addition. He's no Michael Hoyt in the seven quarters of impact that man had. But it turns back to, what is Joe Brady doing with this team? He's running the football. And it has become, in this day and age, if you need to move the football, it's because defenses are telling you that you need to run the football. Base is nickel now. The Bills run a 13 package more than any team but the Rams at this point. By the way, Sean McVay is a psychopath.
Big fan.
But, again, one of those tight ends blocks like a lineman. The Bills revolutionized the idea of putting a six offensive lineman back out there again. Because teams are doing it around the league again. Joe Brady wants to run the football. I don't like saying it and giving it this much attention. But do not go punching air if the Bills grab a running back, okay?
I won't love it. I really will not love it.
The player that Joe mentioned in his tweet was Tony Pollard. I'd be more ecstatic about them adding Tony Pollard than Jacoby Myers. And I think it just has to do with the quality of the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that's right.
So be careful what you wish for is really what I want to say in this at the end of the day.
803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on what you want to see the Bills do today. The trade deadline is at 4 p.m. Thanks to Chris Trapasso, who is absolutely a friend of the show and friend of the station. Usually for trade deadline days, it's around 3 to 3:30 or even past the deadline where news is still coming in. So maybe it won't happen during our show. There's always a chance, though. We already have one deal confirmed today. It is with the Cowboys, who, funny enough, their owner Jerry Jones said yesterday, I believe on Sirius Radio, that he had made a trade or that they were going to make a trade on deadline day. They were just, like, you know, finishing out the details. It's true. They have traded for linebacker Logan Wilson from Cincinnati, and it's for a seventh-round pick. Nothing too crazy, but I do know that was also a name that was floated around that the Bills were kind of keeping tabs on. Adding a linebacker, they've picked up major injuries at that position. Could absolutely see something like that as well.
Adding a Bengals defensive player to the Cowboys defense. That sounds like a winning recipe.
It's not great. It's not the best idea, especially because he was losing snaps on an already horrific defense. I also, though, I want to go to Twitter here because we've got a few responses as well. And one I think that's interesting, and I think Glenn is right to bring this up. Bean is consistent with regards to acquiring players who fit into the team's culture. I believe that is going to be defensive tackle Harrison Phillips, who is right now on the New York Jets. I'd be a little surprised if they made a trade with the Jets. If Phillips was still on the Vikings, I would be 100% on that. The Jets, I have a little bit. It's why I don't even really entertain the Jalen Waddle idea. Waddle's kind of in the same situation that Olave's in, where the cap hit is basically nothing.
Right.
And to be fair, after Waddle's rookie year, you've more than seen that he's a complement receiver. He is not a number one. He has great games. He has great moments. He's not a one. So you can maybe get him for potentially the same price you could get Olave for. But he's a Dolphin. And I don't imagine the Dolphins, a week before they'll play them and they just got rid of their GM, will then send them to the Bills.
They're not doing a division rival a favor.
And to be fair, I almost don't even see the Dolphins doing anything else anymore. They don't have their GM set in. I don't think they'll want to make moves that maybe set the team up in the future. I think that's why they got rid of Chris Greer now rather than a little bit later, is we don't want him touching the rest of the future of the team. We're ready to move on.
Right.
We don't want anything happening on the deadline day. And while it's still his job, it would still be his job. And he would still probably act like it, and that's totally fair. So, look, maybe Waddle could absolutely be moved. I just don't see it with them having an interim GM, and I certainly don't see it with the Bills being a division rival, and you're playing them on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, could you, just for a minute, could you imagine Waddle straight to the Bills today? I mean, does he even leave Miami? Just send him a playbook. Like, dude, we'll meet you there. One of our coaches will come down there, and we'll meet you there.
I don't know how I would react to that, mostly based on Miami's incompetence on that sort of thing. Trading Waddle at all. Really? Because the Dolphins want to probably get themselves a little bit different identity. I don't know if they're moving on from Tua or not. That contract's really hard to deal with.
The contract is tough.
That contract is very tough. But at the same time, that man has been dreadful. And yet, there's rumors they might keep McDaniel. The one thing I do know about Miami's offense is that Jalen Waddle is good at football.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Devon Achane, that's the answers I've got about Miami's offense. Those two are good. That's it. End of list. We know they don't have a quality offensive line.
No.
Their depth is, well, depth at wide receiver. So if they trade the best piece that they have on their offense, with no general manager truly in place yet, oh boy, what are we doing?
Yeah, I'd be a little surprised. The Jalen Phillips trade made more sense because just he was on an expiring contract. They probably weren't going to bring him back
yet. Right, they gave Waddle an extension.
Yeah, Waddle is going to be on the books after this year. Like, that's the thing. The cap hit's not that bad now. It gets much worse next year, I believe next year.
So it is kind of imperative for Miami to hold on to their best offensive player, really is what this is. Phillips was an interesting one for me. Nate brought it up on the overtime show. I was worried about the cap hit because it was before, obviously, they made the restructure with Taron Johnson happen. But then Philly trades for him the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
I also still think, talking about Miami players is a little bit redundant because of the fact that I don't think they're going to do a division rival a favor, especially said division rival that was the bane to their Batman over the last few years. Why would you give that team help?
Yeah. It's also why
that would be like the Bills back in the drought days, mm-hmm. of, hey, let's trade the Patriots our best offensive player
because we're going to restart, but we're going to help them out too.
We're going to help them out.
Yeah, no, and that's why
I'm not calling the Bills the Patriots. Obviously, I'm just saying division rival that has been humiliating said team. Mm-hmm. Do not help them.
But it's why I do look at teams like the Saints more. Saints only have 5 draft picks. They've got a number of players that could help the Bills out now, and it's AFC, NFC. The Saints literally won't have to worry about the Bills and could get a few more draft. They only have 5 going into this year.
That is a key factor that I really do think that Calais Campbell should be the target because of the fact that he plays D-tackle and D-end, and he has 5 sacks on the year. He had 2 last night against Dallas. Mm-hmm. He is consistently getting quarterback hits throughout the year, by the way. It makes too much sense to have the versatility that you just lost with Hoyt.
Yeah. We'll see about Arizona with Campbell. We'll see about New Orleans with Granderson, Olave, Shaheed, and many
others.
The
Saints have a lot of targets that they would be looking at.
Many others on there. Should be very active.
Harrison
today.
Phillips is interesting. Like I said, division rivals don't typically like to help each other, but Harrison Phillips is not Jalen Waddle.
Nope.
Or is he Jalen Phillips, even in that sense? I would be interested to see if that's a trade that the Jets would be willing to make.
803-0550. Again, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts on what do you want to see the Bills do before the 4 p.m. trade deadline. We'll also get some of your tweets. And we've got primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock as well. Sabres in action tonight at home, Utah. 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. Nice busy sports day here on Election Day as well. You're listening to WGR.
Josh Allen was comfortable all night. And Mahomes was never comfortable for 3.5 hours. That defensive front, Joey Bosa, that's why they signed him. He's a pain in the butt, and Andy Reid knows it. So there is a way to beat Kansas City when they lose, and sometimes they lose ugly. Mahomes is getting hit.
Kyle Coward there on his show yesterday talking about the Bills-Chiefs game from Sunday. He also does mention a little bit later on in that clip his thoughts on what the Bills need to do with the trade deadline. He said receiver.
And by the way, I want to make something Labatt crystal clear real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I am not in favor of adding a running back over a receiver. It's just more
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm on the anti-Jacoby Myers train on that, I guess.
Okay.
Like when I said I'd rather have Tony Pollard than have Jacoby Myers, that has to do with the caliber of Myers. I think Myers is just a guy. And it's kind of showing now.
That's fair.
So, no.
I'm on the anti-Calvin Ridley train. Mainly, he's expensive and not good.
Yeah, if he's expensive, you're not getting him anyway.
I know.
So, good news, Zach. I'll let you know right now. You're probably not going to have to deal with that problem.
Saying this now.
But, yes, there's a little bit to that. But
we do have some news. Real quick, we'll get to that here in just a moment. But let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. I got through excellence twice. It just took some time.
And like how you intercepted me with that TRS read there, we do have some news. No, not that kind of news, you sickos. Calm down. The Sabres called up Noah Osland to the active roster. I would imagine that has to do with the fact that Jiří Kulík and Jason Zucker were both doubtful to play tonight against Utah. Paul Hamilton also saying that Tyson Kozak returned to practice today. Sabres taking on the Mammoth tonight. J.J. Paterka, his first game back in Buffalo since demanding effectively a trade. And then, hey, the Bandits have some news too. They announced that they gave to Tohoka Nanakoke a 3-year extension. So Nanakoke staying alongside with the Bandits there for the next couple of years. And
incredible name.
After what happened, though, like losing Fraser and I think it was Cloutier, you need to make sure you're keeping some of these guys in-house here. They bring back Ryan Benesch after a couple of years away and now announcing that Nanakoke is here to stay. So good. Bandits making some moves there. I'm happy to learn that that lockout is not...
It's not imminent, yeah.
They're conducting business like there's going to be a season. So, though a lockout would have been a pretty effective way to stop the Bandits from four-peating.
That's going to be a fun storyline to follow.
Yeah, right?
I mean, having attended my first game, that's going to be a really fun story to follow.
And you went from 0 to 60.
Yeah.
You were at the finals.
I was at the finals, which I still stand by. I feel almost like that shouldn't have been my first game. Like I'm like, no, some of you have been living and breathing this for years, and here I am stepping in for a three-peat going, hey, guys, I'm here. Oh, welcome to the party. Let's go. No, it's not that bad. But for me personally, I was like, I shouldn't be doing
yes,
this.
I am always Bandit fan. I am part of Bandits Lands.
I'm waving the towel they gave me. Yeah. I have no Bandits gear.
I'm over here at Bandits Lands. I know you're not that casual, but like that's just a fun way
that's
to tell
how
a joke.
It felt. It's how it felt. We are also talking the NFL trade deadline today, 4 p.m. deadline. The Bills did move some camp yesterday, so it does somewhat signal that a move could be on the horizon. We'll see if anything gets done. Typically on deadline day, it's closer to the actual 4 p.m. finish line where they announce a move rather than during the show. But we're keeping vigilant. We'll see what happens.
I do love the headcanon that it's completely not true of Brandon Bean's just taking a solid, strong nap at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He's just
hanging
lounged,
out.
Lounged back in the chair, and then at 3 o'clock. You ever have one of those naps, though, where you wake up and, like, all of a sudden in a panic for no reason?
It's been a while, but yes.
Like, that's what's happening.
It's the midday nap, yeah.
Brandon Bean just, oh my God, the deadline. And then gets to work and hammers in a deal within like 30 minutes. So I know that's the complete opposite. He's probably been to work at 4 a.m. since doing this.
Especially he moved the cap yesterday.
He moved the cap and restructured it. The man was probably at work today at 4 a.m. No, instead it's 3 a.m. and he's like Patrick Starr. Oh boy, 3 a.m.
Nice. Being after dark. Well, again, we'll see if anything happens today. We're keeping vigilant, but we're also taking your calls, 803-0550. Your thoughts on what you want to see the Bills add. There's a number of positions they could go to, and thanks to the cap space being freed up, they may even be able to do two or more trades, probably just one or two, if that at all, probably more along the lines of one. But never know. The Eagles have made three already, and that's even before today.
Howie Roseman's got a countdown.
Not keep it going. Force others to follow you. Let's get connected to our fans, though. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We start off today with Steve on the line. Steve, how are we doing?
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. How are you all?
Doing well.
Hey, got a question for you. My preference would be Olave. Rookie contract. Next year when the cap goes up, you could restructure him, get him signed. I like his speed. He's had a couple injuries, but we don't have anything like him. What are your thoughts?
I think that is absolutely right, Steve. On Olave, me and Derek talked about this off air because I did want to bring Olave up.
There's a really interesting wrinkle here.
I wanted to bring him up. My thing is, and whenever anyone's asked me what my preference is, I have gone, when talking receiver, I have gone to Rashid Shaheed. He adds a speed element. He's kind of a rental guy. He's not going to fill that wide receiver run space. And I don't really know if the Bills want to do that. I think that would change very much the everyone eats, because I think Olave is more than talented enough to warrant a ton of target share. On Olave, though, if they were to add him, as Steve brought up there, he's actually cheaper than Rashid Shaheed.
Right.
Because of the rookie contract. Actually, adding Olave might allow you to make two trades, although a little bit more expensive to actually acquire him. Probably a second, maybe even a late first, which is where you'd pick. My thing with Olave is I'd be thrilled. I would absolutely be thrilled. My fear is the four concussions in 3 years. That is terrifying to me.
Now, to build on that a little bit, the concussion history. The Bills have had a recent signee under this regime that came in with massive concussion worries, but was also given a huge contract. I do believe at that time was the best at his position. Like highest of his position.
Highest
in
position.
Mitch Morse.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
If people are Bills and Sabres fans, they look back now at Josh Norris and go, okay, that terrifies me. Injury history, don't love that. Which then proves the point of you are injury prone until you're not. Matter of fact, Joey Bosa's been doing pretty well here.
He's another one where it's like, okay, hey, he came in with a lot of red flags.
I aggressively knocked on wood. You're all welcome.
But the fear was there of like, are we sure about this? So it may point to Bills don't really care.
Bills don't really care.
They trust their medical staff. If they get a full clearance, go.
I also think that they would be able to use this as
Deion
a
Walker.
Bargaining
Hell,
chip.
Deion Walker, though, they draft him.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? He's fine. We're good. Bring him in.
But to stay on Olave with this, I think there's two factors to this. One, acquiring him on that rookie contract does allow you to do, one, invest in a young player that is talented, that has the ability. But because of the concussion history, you also have a chance to get out of it if the risk is too high at that point. It's a rental.
Yeah, the Saints did pick up the fifth-year option.
But so it's still what, a one-year rental after that?
Yep. So you have him for this year, half
have him
of this
year,
year
next.
And next year, yeah.
So that's fine. It's a short-term deal then, like Rasul Douglas. Perfectly fine, good investment then. You tried. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. The second thing is, with the concussion history, is that an opportunity to drive the price down? Maybe it's not a first that's required. Or maybe it was supposed to be more expensive than a first because a lot of teams are calling. Does it only become a first? Or is it conditions? Can I make this a conditional second-round pick that can become a first? And would the Saints be willing to accept that? That's where I think things get interesting. Or the conditional first, is it this year or next year? Because there are injury concerns. That is where I think Olave is more fascinating in more ways than one because it has multiple factors to it. I'm still on team add defensive line. I think the Bills' offense is going to be frustrating to watch in terms of our vanity because I did mention last week how it's boring sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Boring doesn't mean ineffective. Boring doesn't mean unsustainable. It just sometimes looks a little boring, and that's okay. But I do think that that is something that when they are running the football, man, look out. They're not to be stopped, and they could even be playing a subpar game and put up 30 points if they're running the football effectively. That is the part that seems sustainable at this point. Obviously, they don't score 30 against the Chiefs, but they probably put together their most complete performance.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
When they're running the football well, that is something that they cannot really be stopped. And they run the ball well more times than not.
It does help, too. I mean,
you mentioned
boring, but it does help that James Cook might be
he's awesome.
One of the, aesthetically speaking, one of the better running backs to watch.
Yes.
That man is so shifty. His balance is incredible. The start, stop, go. We don't maybe talk enough about James Cook because of the passing game woes and
right.
everything like that. The ascension he has been on for the last 24 months, 2 years, however, incredible. It has been one of my favorite things to watch. He goes from a guy that is going to be involved in the passing game, can't really be a three-down back, can't really be a main running back, to now, as you pointed out earlier in the show, he's barely behind Jonathan Taylor, who, while leading him in touchdowns, but rushing yards, he's barely behind Jonathan Taylor and has played one less game. You know, he's putting up performances we have not seen since Thurman Thomas or O.J. Simpson in the rushing game. And it is something, too, of, yeah, the Bills do have another elite player on offense. It's not just Josh Allen in the skill positions. It is also James Cook. You have to put his name in there. And that's something I've maybe fought a little bit too hard against of the lack of elite players, what have you. And I still stand a lot on that, but the one I do want to take away is James Cook. He is absolutely an elite running back.
He has been incredible in every manner of the word. I will go ahead and mention, though, that like that's why I'm still on defensive line heavily. You have lost two incredible players already in back-to-back weeks. But the defense has been playing better. Okay. Should we reward that faith by bolstering it and trying to help you guys out? Because, man, you are getting beaten to hell and back, and now you're still kind of coming out the other side of it going, we're okay.
We're all right. We're breathing.
It's Randy Marsh in South Park. I didn't hear no bell. Do you reward that by trying to add to the strength, especially on the interior? Do you add to it to try to say, we believe in you guys, we're going to add to it so that we can get through this? And I think that's what you should do with mm-hmm. this team.
803-0550, the number to call. Still taking your calls on the NFL trade deadline. What do you want to see the Bills do? We've heard from Chris Olave. We've also read some of the tweets as well. Defensive line help. We've been talking Calais Campbell and others. It should be an interesting day. We'll see how many deals even happen across the league. We also have a hockey game tonight as well. Sabres at home against Utah. 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR. Tailgate Trivia is back. It is presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. It is courtesy of TSE Buffalo. Trade deadline day here in the NFL. We've also got a hockey game tonight. We had college basketball yesterday, everybody.
You're a sicko.
Yeah, we did.
It's not even that it was top 25 teams that you were looking at.
Nope.
Zach, what did your day start with yesterday?
8 in the morning.
Ready? Everyone, you just heard that. Yesterday, his day started at 8 in the morning. What were you doing at 8 in the morning?
I was watching the Field of 68's opening day marathon over on YouTube. It was for free. The stream did crap out in the middle of the St. Bonaventure game. We'll get to that here in just a moment.
But what was the first game you watched at 8 a.m., Zach?
Winthrop versus Queens, baby. Not Queens, New York either. It's in Charlotte. Queens University of Charlotte, I believe, is the full name.
You made that up.
Nope. On them, real quick, they actually can't participate in the NCAA tournament or the NIT until next year. They're transitioning from D2.
That is a creative school that you just talked
about. Absolutely
creative
school.
You created a school in College Hoops 2K.
I don't even think we're getting that game anymore either.
Seven. That's why I said seven.
Yeah, St. Bonaventure versus Bradley. Nice 69-63 win over them.
Very nice.
That was weird, by the way. Bradley, before that, I was talking with Gianluca, the afternoon show video producer, Bonaventure alum. So we talk about Bonaventure. Weird. 5 minutes before that game tips off, Bonnie, I believe, is a 2.5-point underdog to Bradley. 5 minutes then before kickoff or tip off, 1.5-point favorite, Bonaventure. I don't know what happened. But something happened.
But then they won and covered.
They won and covered. UB men won and covered at home against Southern Miss yesterday. Ryan Saville had 32 points, 7 threes. Niagara and Canisius, they were also in action. They had to play A-10 teams. Did not go well for them. And then UB women were at Marshall. They lost as well. But college basketball, full swing yesterday. We'll have a little bit more of that when the primetime
Zach
players comes up next.
Zach is in sicko mode now. We are not. We're all doomed, everyone. I hope everyone understands the severity of this problem.
It's not a problem if you don't admit it. Let's go back to the phones. Adam is up next with us. Adam, how are we doing, man?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I'm excited for college basketball, too. So
there we go, baby.
I understand the sensation. Just in terms of the trade deadline, I would love to see a receiver come in. But the fact of the matter is we've already got enough receivers on our offense, and we don't know how to use them. And you could say that, we just don't have the guy that we need. I just think they're pretty dedicated on offense to they're going to run the ball. They're going to use their tight ends. And I truthfully feel like just adding a wide receiver to this mix is just going to frustrate us even more. On top of the fact, if you look at where all the attrition is coming in on right now, it's on the defensive side. You know, if we're going to add a receiver, we have to subtract a receiver. unless if you're talking about, trading Samuel and a third for Olave straight up, that frees up a spot. But you got Oliver, who's pretty much done for the entire regular season at least.
Right.
You got Hoyt down; he's going to be done for the year. Taylor Rapp, I don't know what his designation is, but he's done.
Point and two end of the year, yeah.
Yeah, so we have holes on the defense, and there's only so many guys you can field. We hear this all the time. So, and also taking to the fact, too, we've lost in the playoffs however many years now because of our defense, and we run into injuries. So I just feel like a wide receiver would be amazing if you can go out and pick up an A.J. Brown, hypothetically. That would be a dream, but I just don't see it happening. And on top of the fact, there's also who's giving up players. Go through the standings right now. In the NFC, you have the Saints and the Giants who are pretty much out of it. Everybody else in the NFC is still pretty much in contention. And in the AFC, you have Vegas, the Titans, Browns, and then you got the Dolphins and the Jets, and that's really it. So, who's really giving up players if they feel their team is still, quote-unquote, in it? My pipe dream is I would love to see us get Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would solve an immediate need. He's young still. I don't know what's going on with Daquan Jones, but I think that would bring a lot of solidarity to the defensive line. I'll just hang up and I'll listen to you guys' comments.
Adam, appreciate the call. Could I trouble you for a Calais Campbell?
Right. That's the thing. Dexter Lawrence is the dream. Calais Campbell might be the affordable option.
It sounds too logical at this point for me. I guess... we have the wide receiver train here. I've got the, little...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Car that you have to, like, pump the lever so that it moves. That's my – I'm on the Calais Campbell cart, okay?
I wonder about Calais Campbell, though. How much does last night's win mean for the – because – Adam brings up a good point. A lot of teams in the NFC are not really
out of it.
And does the win last night maybe push them to go, no, we're going to keep this guy who's been good for us. We're going to maybe make a playoff push here.
That also makes the Arizona Cardinals 3-5. All three of their teams in the West.
Doesn't save them. Oh, I know.
All three of their rivals are 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be fighting for a wild card spot. And they're 2 games behind 9th place. Be realistic.
Well, you know, maybe now that they moved to Jacoby Brissett, maybe they got something. I genuinely mean that as well. They may actually have something finally.
I'm not really.
Maybe not a playoff team, but just not.
Saving jobs. And you know how you save jobs? Help acquire some assets.
Yeah, more draft picks, more young talent.
If you can get something, like say it's a 4th-round pick for Calais Campbell. That's, first of all, good job.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 4th-round pick for a 38-year-old. But that's still also, I can add to that. I can add to my roster now. A 4th-round pick is also ammunition to move up and down in day 2, however you please.
Yeah. My guy I'd look at is maybe Carl Granderson.
From the Saints, yes.
Might be around the same. And yeah, it's the Saints. They're a team that has 5 draft picks going into this year, and they need talent almost everywhere.
You know who's disgustingly a team that should be on this radar? Atlanta. No 1st-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
And you're 3-5. That loss is going to continue to remain frustrating.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Primetime players coming up at the top of the hour. We're also, of course, taking your calls. Trade deadline thoughts. What do you want to see the Bills do? We've heard from the offense. We've heard from the defense. Love to hear from you next. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Does Cole Bishop, who I think was on Brews, making the leap, and then after the game, he gave the Chiefs a little peek behind the curtain.
I didn't see this.
What are the motions on 3rd down? saw a play versus the Chargers where he spit it out there pretty quick. So being able to know he's potentially going to throw that ball, just chasing the motion. What about this from Hairston? This is about Xavier Worthy. Finding a difference in his posture and his effort for real. When he knows he's not getting it, when it's a run, and taking it out onto the field. Those are the That's types ridiculous. Of quotes you give after you've climbed the mountain when you've won your Super Bowl. Like, this is how we did it. So shout out to the Bills. They are the first and only team ever to lose four straight Super Bowls. They are now the first team ever to win five straight.
That is Nick Wright having a little bit of fun at the Bills' expense, probably trying to just, you know, get through the season. I like Wright a lot. I know many in Buffalo won't. I think when he kind of turns off the fan with the Chiefs, he thinks he's very good. I will say that clip, though, kind of in full agreement. Guys, don't give away the secrets, namely Max Hairston. Do not tell people you're like, guys, change of posture. I knew Worthy wasn't giving the ball. Don't say that. There's no doubt the Chiefs are going to go to Worthy now and go, hey, cut that out. Cut it. It's going to happen.
But hey, you know what?
Still a great performance, though, by Bishop and Worthy. Bishop and Hairston.
Nick Wright, I do hope you are enjoying your snark right now, because I am covering a team that is currently in the playoffs.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I am going to be locked in, by the way. So they're on the bye this week. I am going to be locked in to at Denver for the Chiefs after their bye. Reed is, I think, like 27-4 off the bye. I mean, he's incredible off the
bye. He's incredible off a bye week.
I will tell you, though, the way the Chiefs season has gone, I mean, they're not winning the close games that have you. This feels like the year where, like, they lost off the bye.
If they lose off the bye.
Now, all of a sudden, they're 5-5. It would be to Denver. I think at that point, you've
lost tiebreakers. Division's done. But then you have lost primary tiebreakers to almost everybody.
Yeah. So I'm going to be locked into that game. I think the Bills play Tampa that week, so that's going to be a little tough because I'm excited for that game. But Chiefs at Denver in 2 weeks, going to be awesome. We'll get to prime time players here in just a moment, but we'll go back to the phones first with it being trade deadline day in the NFL. 4 p.m. is that deadline. The Bills moved some cap yesterday. Could mean something. We'll see nothing so far across the league in the last few hours. Logan Wilson, the linebacker, going from Cincy to Dallas for a 7th. The only news we've gotten so far this morning. We'll start the segment off with Matt on the line. Matt, how we doing, man?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Someone just mentioned about Atlanta, and I was wondering about Mooney. I don't know any of the details with his contract, but he was kind of banged up a little bit for a while. He came back, and obviously Atlanta has Drake London, like, killing it, so maybe they could see about moving a piece like that to maybe Buffalo to get, like, a first-round pick because they don't have one.
They could. Mooney's not worth a first. That's the only thing. I think you could work that down. It depends on the contract, though. I mean, because he signed a contract with Atlanta.
He signed a contract extension. So I pulled it up here. The cap hit for the year is $8.4 million. The signing bonus prorated $5 million, base salary $1.5 million.
Okay.
There is an out for that contract immediately.
Oh.
After this season.
It's just, can you get him on the books for half the year? Because he kind of does also what Rashid Shaheed does. He's a deep threat. He's a guy that a few years ago when he's a free agent, I love the idea of him. I think Sneaky Joe did as well just because of the skill set he offered. And I think you're right to bring up Atlanta too. The loss is stunning, but also they're not a particularly good football team. Like, they've got really fun players. Caller just brought up Drake London as well. Bijan's awesome. Their two rookie edge rushers, by the way, are also very good. The team seemingly around them, though, is terrible.
I also think it's just more or less you don't have stability under center either.
No.
Penix has had some bad games. He's been injured as well. It's not been a good season for them there. And you do need to see what you have in him. Otherwise, what are we doing this for?
So then that maybe goes to, why do we get rid of one of his weapons? We know London works. We know Pitts works. Let's not get rid of anything. We're still trying to figure this out.
Hang on. It's not like Mooney's been particularly productive, though, this season either. It's been Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and a bunch of flotsam and jetsam in the passing game.
Yeah. Mooney has been hurt, though, this year.
He's been hurt a good amount of this year. But then it's just, it really is statistically for them. It's Bijan and London, and sometimes Kyle Pitts has a big game, too.
Yeah, they can somewhat have figured out Kyle Pitts, somewhat. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. Yeah, Atlanta might be interesting. I just don't know if they will because I think they want to see what they have in Penix. But it is something to note. They don't have that first-round pick. I just don't know if Mooney's going to be available or worth that even slightly.
But I do think
it might just be something they have to deal with.
It's worth mentioning like teams that might be out of playoff contention that we don't know of.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Jordan is up next. Jordan, how are we doing?
Good, guys. Hope you guys are doing well this morning.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about Olave and a first-round pick, and, people may be saying a first-round pick is too much, but when you look at my opinion of it, when you look at what we've used first-round picks on, where we normally pick, you'd be using a first-round pick for a known commodity. Yes, mm-hmm. You're only getting a year and a half of them, but look at our last, say, five. Harrison obviously is a bit of an outlier. It's only been two games, and he looks great. But Kincaid in 23, good player, took till year three to really take off and get that first-round value out of him. Elam's not on the roster. Rousseau and Oliver, again, good players, but I don't think justify the value of that first-round pick until or in year three or four. So if I'm only getting 2 years out of that first-round pick of high-level play, because it takes till year three for these guys to really contribute, I would rather use that right now on a known commodity. I get a year and a half of Olave, and I know what I'm getting out the gate day one. The draft is such an imperfect thing, especially mm-hmm. where the Bills draft
yep.
at 27, 29, 30. It's very imperfect, and you use a first-round pick on a guy that sometimes they just don't work out. Look at other first-round receivers in the last 3-4 years that, Kadarius Toney, there's guys out there that you can come up with that don't justify the use of a first-round pick, and you 100% know what you're getting out the gate. I just think it's a better use of the pick. I don't know what you guys' opinion is.
Jordan, I love that you bring this point up because this is always my argument with people that complain the Bills traded their first-round pick to go get Stephon Diggs when they could have had Justin Jefferson, right? Jefferson out of the gate was great, but at the time coming out of LSU, the thought process with him was he's a slot receiver. Like, that's what they used him for. Jamar Chase was the outside guy. He just can't come out of the draft yet. He ultimately sits out his last year due to COVID. But that was always my thing. Player you didn't bring up, and I think you could have if you really wanted to, not a first-round pick because the Bills trade back, but at the same position, Keon Coleman. You're not getting anything out of him.
Right.
Where if I trade what would ultimately be a late first, or I think you can negotiate it down because of the concussion history second-round pick.
It's not about it being worth it to get Olave. It's about maybe there is a cost reduction that could be happening
mm-hmm,
here
mm-hmm.
that we don't know of or could be used in negotiations.
I think it happened. And yeah, I wonder how much of an appetite the Bills have to essentially look at their offensive system, look at everyone eats and goes, nope, it's not working. We need Olave in here. That's why I've always looked at Rashid Shaheed. He just adds an element they don't have.
The other
but he
part
doesn't
of
change
this
everything
is
them.
Something that another caller mentions, like because they were more interested on adding defensive line or something mm-hmm. else
yes.
of the sort. Boundary receivers under Brady don't thrive anyway, and that's okay to admit that. For me, that's okay to admit that. I don't think a general manager wants to admit that sort of thing, but. That's why I'm not as huge on worrying about acquiring a wide receiver, because are you getting the impact of a player like a Chris Olave? Is he Chris Olave in this lineup? Amari Cooper. Is he Amari Cooper in that lineup? Absolutely, he was not. As a matter of fact, he retires. Jerry Jeudy. Am I getting Jerry Jeudy out of this, or am I getting the Cleveland version that I'm seeing right
say,
now?
Am I getting this year's version
am
of
I getting
Jerry
this
Jeudy?
Year's version of Jerry Jeudy, and is that a good thing or not?
Last year he was fun.
Last year was super fun, and the Bills went and acquired Cooper. And it was kind of fun, but it was still diminished returns on that as well. I think it's this offensive system. It's why I'm not gung-ho on it, and I also think that the way that they play, it is sustainable as long as they run the football effectively. And they do, more times than not, run the football effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it, because even that New England loss, they don't run the football well. They turn the ball over 3 times. They still only lose on a last second field goal.
Right, it does take a drive by May to get it done.
Like, come on, help this defense out. They've been doing everything over the last 10 quarters that you need to and more, and they just keep getting battered in the process. Stable up the reinforcements, let's go on a run.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Hang on line if you're there. We got primetime players coming up here in just a moment. As baseball's done, doesn't necessarily mean, though, they're not going to be on this list. We've got college basketball back, college football, NFL, NHL, a lot going on here. So primetime players for week number 9 here. Start with some honorable mentions here. Do you want to start off with honorable
mentions? I'll kick off the honorable mentions this time around. You've got too many.
I decided to cut none of them.
Wow. Okay, maybe you need to start then.
I'm going to start with Georgia Tech quarterback Haynes King. 500 total yards. I think 3 touchdowns. Haynes King.
Oh, I thought you said Hans.
Oh, no. No, that'd have been fun. Haynes King, quarterback for Georgia Tech. 500 total yards. I think 3 touchdowns, lost, though, to NC State. That's why he winds up on the honorable mentions for me.
That's wacky. For me, I'm starting out on the diamond, Trey Savage. 12 strikeouts, a rookie record for a World Series in Game 5 against the Dodgers. Ultimately, it does not end well. The last chapter of Savage's postseason, he surrenders a home run in a game where every run mattered. But he did play well in that limited spot appearance there. I think Savage was fine in Game 7.
But he does still have the historic performance before that.
He still has the historic performance before that. Really played well in this entire World Series. If not for another player that's going to be mentioned much later in this segment, Savage would be on this list and probably, if the result was different, is the World Series MVP.
Yep. For me, I'm going to do 3 players here. I've got 4 players total from the Cincinnati-Chicago.
Oh, no.
Whatever you want to call that game. So just real quick, the 3 guys that are all honorable mentions, Joe Flacco, 470 and 4 touchdowns. They do lose the game. Same with T. Higgins, 7 for 121 and 2. And then I did want to mention Kyle Monogany, who comes in, rushes for 176 as a spot guy coming in for DeAndre Swift, who was hurt. Ben Johnson, the dude knows how to coach offense, and he knows how to use running backs.
Forget Ben Johnson. I think it's that the Cincy players, the
also
offense,
bad.
Might need to pile drive defensive players.
Yes, also bad.
All right, for me, I'm going to the ice rink for these next two. Anthony Stolarz, Toronto goaltender. 31 saves on both Saturday and Monday for a pair of wins for the Maple Leafs. Unfortunately for Buffalo, that means they're sitting in last place in the East. They're sitting in last place in the East, and it doesn't feel like it, by the way.
No, everyone is clumped together. Everyone's within 2 points.
Yeah, the Sabres win tonight. They vault all the way up to, like, 5th.
It's also why, look, it was frustrating those 3 games.
Those first three games are awful.
Well, the first 3 games, but even the 3 overtime losses in a row keep stacking points.
It's going to save them in the end.
It has allowed them to stick around everybody and not have to claw their way out. A single win tonight, like you said, vaults you into a far higher position than you are, you know, at 6 or 7 when the puck drops.
Yeah, so there it is. Stolarz, though, back-to-back 31 save performances, over 9-10 save percentage in each of those games. Fantastic from them, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He's a Leafs goaltender.
Yes. For me, Chris McCaffrey, when he is in for San Francisco and when he's healthy, he's their everything. He is as valuable as a quarterback to most normal organizations, 173 total yards and 2 touchdowns. It does not matter who the quarterback is when McCaffrey's healthy for Kyle Shanahan. That's the most important guy in the field.
It is wild that in a season where everybody's getting hurt and then some for the 49ers, again, it is McCaffrey that is healthy and the stalwart performer on that team week in and week out. I'm staying with hockey on my honorable mentions, by the way. Brock Besser last night, 2 goals, 1 assist, including the game-winning goal last night against Nashville for the Vancouver Canucks, right in time for me to have dropped him in my fantasy hockey league.
Nice. Good decision. Good decision. Nailed that one. My last honorable mention is with college hoops last night. Watched a lot of it. I could not watch this game. I don't even think it was on television, but it's cool that it happened anyways. D2 Hawaii Pacific taking down Boise State over in the Mountain West, 79-78. That alone, there we go, baby. Also, that is the rare Quad 5 loss, and because it's a Division II team, I don't even think the metrics put that in. So Boise State loses to a D2 team, and I don't even think it'll affect their metrics. It'll just be all eye test, everyone going, no, we remember, though, day one. We remember day one.
Hopefully they play well enough that gets swept under the rug.
It won't.
It won't, because that's probably a bad start to your season and a bad omen for how it's going to go.
It's a bad omen.
All right, we going to the top 5 or what?
Let's go to top 5.
All right, number 5 for me, Josh Allen. 23 of 26, 3 total touchdowns in this game, 273 yards through the air against Kansas City in almost a get-right game for Allen and his numbers. Because heading into the game, he's still like one of the betting favorites for MVP. And he reminds everyone why in this game against the Chiefs. Again, he took a couple of sacks that he wanted back in there. He made mention of that post game. But the man missed three passes. That's already enough for me to be like, hey, welcome back to the primetime players list here, Josh Allen.
Number five for me, we're going to stay with college hoops. It's a loaded freshman class this year across the board with the men's teams. And the best performance last night was actually the only top 25 matchup between two top 25 teams. Koa Pete, 18-year-old freshman with Arizona, goes 30 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals in the win over number 3 Florida.
Oof.
Just an incredible performance. And if you watched SportsCenter this morning, you probably saw one of his two dunks that were just monstrous. So Koa Pete at number 5 for me.
Number 4, we're going with Brock Bowers. In a losing performance, 12 catches, 127 yards, 3 touchdowns. The man was necessary for every moment of that. The Raiders do ultimately lose the game against Jacksonville in overtime. I'm not going to worry about that because that keeps the Chiefs out of the playoffs. But Bowers tried to do everything that he could in order to help Geno Smith kind of stabilize for this one because he's had a very bad season.
Did have 4 touchdowns in one pick. Four touchdowns, though.
But 3 of them going to Bowers, there's a reason for that. It's because Bowers is fantastic and every bit the weapon that they need on that offense.
Yeah, well, I have Bowers on my list a little bit later, but it was a great day for tight ends. Number 4 for me is Colston Loveland for Chicago. 6 for 118 and 2 touchdowns, including, I want to say miraculous game winner, but it is the Cincy defense, so it might be very miraculous.
It's still miraculous.
Yeah.
It's also befuddling.
It's befuddling. Just listening to the poor Cincinnati offensive players in the postgame, I mean, just fed up and done with the defense and everything going on there. So maybe it's not miraculous, but Colston Loveland, a huge game for him, and that last touchdown I think is like 50 yards.
Yeah,
I mean he catches it, they're in field goal range, no tackling, he runs into the end zone, so that he's going to be number 4 for me.
All right, number 3, I'm staying with that game actually. In a losing performance, Joe Flacco, 31 of 47, 470 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. For how badly these two games have gone for Cincinnati overall in the standings, the Bengals made a hell of a trade to try to save their year.
Yeah, it has not been bad for the old man.
Oh, my God. It has been fantastic for Flacco as a Bengal. The numbers that he's putting up.
He's the oldest guy to throw 450-plus yards.
The Bengals made the right idea trading for him. The only problem is that they were already doomed to begin with because their defense was going to do this with Joe Burrow healthy.
And, yeah, you know, speaking of Joe Burrow, many are saying system quarterback. Number 3 for me, you mentioned Josh Allen, 3 incompletions. Another quarterback that only had 3 incompletions on Sunday Night Football. That is Sam Darnold.
We can help out with this.
There you go. So you got him on the list as well.
He's number 2.
He's number 2 for you, Sam Darnold. I went with him mainly because the game was so out of reach. His stat line finishes at 330 and 4 touchdowns. He could have thrown for more. He was almost at 300 yards in the first half. Him and JSN, that connection, Seattle, way to take the misfortunes of Minnesota and make them your crown jewel.
Not to mention, though, furthermore on this, because he is number 2 on my list, Sam Darnold. Zach, he misses 3 passes for the game.
Yeah.
They were all in the second half.
I think they were all early, too. Yeah, he was perfect in the first half. I think it's very early. He has an interception as well.
First half stat line, 16 of 16, 282 yards, 4 touchdowns. Hysterical.
Yeah, he is, again, one of the latest guys, the reclamation projects, these quarterbacks that find new life in a new system with better players, better organizational structure. And again, look, the Vikings beat Detroit. Great for J.J. McCarthy, 3 touchdowns. But I got to imagine it's a clean 50-50 split for Minnesota fans of they wish they had Sam Darnold still. Especially after the Carson Wentz experience when McCarthy got hurt. And you're watching in the NFC, in Seattle, Darnold continues to deal. Look, he was not good at the end of last year. He's been exceptional, though, for Seattle from the word go. I got to watch him a lot that Thursday night game, the rivalry jersey against Arizona.
Yep.
That was really the first time I could sit and watch him in Seattle.
He's been incredible, especially not limited to Sunday night, but my God.
Yeah.
So there we go. So that's my number 2, your number 3.
My number two is Brock Bowers. I know it's a losing effort, and I do mention that with primetime players. I'd like them to be for wins. My thing with Bowers is he literally did everything to get them a win.
He could.
There's only so much he can do. He catches what should be potentially a game-winning touchdown in overtime. The pass is batted down, though, for the two-point conversion for the Raiders. They ultimately lose to the Jaguars, but Bowers 12 for 127 and three touchdowns. Dude's healthy, and when he's healthy, there may not be a better receiving tight end in the game.
I'm curious, Zach, what sport is number one playing?
It's baseball.
So I'm going to guess it is a certain World Series MVP.
It is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Just nailed it.
Real.
Dodgers nailed that one, getting him over there. He's been great for them. I think we've either talked about it on air or off air. I mean, he's developed into their best pitcher and their future ace. He's already kind of the ace now, and he had to pitch a lot in this World Series, and every time he did, he nailed it.
Complete game in game one. Allows one run. Allows one run in game six. Also a win. Six innings. Pitches two more in game seven. Gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
He has three wins in this series credited to him. And he has more wins credited to him in this series than runs allowed. Three wins, two earned runs for the World Series MVP, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
So that's number one for both of us. Week 9, primetime players. We'll be posting that on social media here in just a moment. 803-0550, the number two call. We got to take a quick timeout. But Steve, JJ, Mike, if you can hang on the line here when we come back, we'll get to your calls as we keep on rolling here on a trade deadline day in the NFL. We've also got the Sabres later tonight hosting Utah, 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. You're listening to WGR.
You know, I think it was just a product of, you know, some of the type of runs that we were kind of going with. He might not necessarily have been on the field for. You know, we have obviously a good amount of runs with him in, you know, and, you know, I got to do a better job of making sure that I'm getting to those that, you know, just getting him on the field. But, you know, you see how dynamic he is on the field when he's on the field, you know. So it's obviously it's a combination of, I don't want to say managing his load, but making sure that we obviously have him all year. But I obviously got to make sure I get him on the field more because, as you guys saw last night, good things happen when he's out there. And
that is Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, obviously talking about Arch Manning, who is not on our primetime players list. You know, a dominant game against Vanderbilt. No, he's talking about Dalton Kincaid there. Another great game for him. Was it six for over 100 yards and a touchdown?
Six for 101 and a touchdown.
Yeah. He has ascended. I don't know if he's an elite player yet. That I'm not going to throw him into that group with Allen and Cook. But I'd say at this point now, 3 years in, he has been a hit for being it's just not a home run, it's probably more like a double.
Hey, you know what? I'll take that over what it was.
Yep.
But it is getting interesting to see how productive Kincaid has been with the limited snap share that he's been getting. That is kind of this interesting balancing act. We've talked with Sal Capaccio about this multiple times, and I continue to be fascinated by the idea of maybe play him a little bit more, maybe give him 50% of the snaps consistently through the season and see what you can do with that. But also, currently, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it sounds like Brady should want to fix it. And he's saying, I need to do better with that sort of thing.
We'll see if that if anything ends up happening, though. Before we get to our calls, we do have news.
We do have some news. First of all, this one was a little bit ago. The Sabres placed Jason Zucker on injured reserve, by the way. Predated to, I do believe, a week ago. You could predate it up to like where the ailment begins. Mm-hmm. But Zucker on IR, he's worse than he was yesterday. Doubtful he could even come close to Thursday. Zucker not playing. Yuri Kulik doubtful for Thursday as well against St. Louis. Tyson Kozak, the player that might be there, because head coach Lindy Ruff saying, I wouldn't rule out Kozak for Thursday. Zach, Jakobi Meyers has been traded.
Yes. Goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a fourth and a sixth round pick.
There it
is. So Meyers, one of the big names for receivers, he goes to Jacksonville. This makes a lot of sense. The Jaguars do win. They're in a playoff spot. They're actually the team that is barricading the Chiefs from getting in at this point. And also, Travis Hunter is out indefinitely. He picked up a knee injury. His ACL is intact, but he is out indefinitely. And he, for most intents and purposes, was their second wide receiver And Brian Thomas Jr. hasn't had the best season by any stretch of the imagination. There were rumblings like a week and a half ago that he was on the trade block.
He did play better, though.
He did play better. They get Myers and a fourth and a sixth. It's a guy that's on an expiring contract. Makes a lot of sense here. I was never really on the Jacoby Myers train.
I didn't love that idea for the caliber of player. I don't think he's necessarily what I'd call that good. But if you need him to fill in as the number two receiver at the moment and hope that Brian Thomas Jr. can just wake up, that's not a bad deal. And then if Hunter comes back and he's healthy, Myers is suddenly your third. It helps the depth chart all around. I just don't think Myers is anything special.
We'll see, though, if this does set up more of a wide receiver market where, okay, Myers goes for a fourth and a sixth. Does Olave go for a second? Because he's not on that expiring contract. You have the fifth-year option, and he's younger.
A market has been established is more or less what's going on here now.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens throughout the rest of the day.
803-0550, again, the number to call. I want to jump on here, give your thoughts on the trade deadline. As promised, we've got some callers waiting patiently, and we'll go to them. First up, Steve is on the line. Steve, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. You know, always an exciting the final day here for trade deadline. I was really kind of the mindset that they're going to just do something to bolster the defensive line, mm-hmm. just given the amount of snaps that are probably going to be vacated versus what's available on offense for the asset they're going to have to spend to fill it. But Olave would probably be, you know, if Beam was going to take a swing, that would be the one. Isn't that the one kind of target that Josh would want, as somebody that's a little smaller and speedy? And then how much would we really get him on the field if we did acquire him?
I think it's my thing, Steve. I know a lot of people brought that up with just, you know, would Brady be willing to use Olave if they were to trade for him? That's my thing. If they did trade for him, to me, in my eyes, that would signal discussions have been had internally. The passing game is going to change a little bit. Olave will be used. He will be used as a one with Kincaid as the complement and Shakir as the complement. And we're going to go from there, you know, piece in Josh Palmer and Keon Coleman as you may. That's why I don't see Olave as likely for the Bills. It would signal, I think, a big change for the Bills philosophically. And at this point, they have enough justification, whether it be, Steve, as you mentioned, the injuries on defense or the fact that they are scoring points. And they did dominate the Chiefs in how they want to play on offense with Palmer out, to maybe not do this. It's why I still look at the Saints, but I do look at, if they wanted to, Rashid Shaheed, he adds an element they don't maybe have with the speed and the deep threat. Or a Carl Granderson. Defensive line, edge/defensive tackle help. They can also kind of move people around with where he's at. He's 28, so if you want to sign him past this year, you maybe could. We'll see. It's something to keep an eye on. I just, for me, that's why I do go hands off with Olave, because I think it's a fair criticism to bring up that would Brady even use him? For me, it is much more, oh no, I think if they got him, he'd be forced to use him. It would also be an acknowledgement that the everybody eats and these last 2 years have been not a failure, but not worked to the level they wanted.
And by the way, more on Myers, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, it seems like the Steelers were also involved on trying to acquire him.
Unsurprising. They traded away George Pickens and immediately tried to replace him.
Unsurprising. I don't know why they did both of those things, because look, I would have loved having my crash out Kings at wide receiver one and two on a team that does typically have wide receiver crash outs.
Like, guys, like, lean into your identity.
Lean into
it. Don't run from it. Be who you are.
The standard is the standard.
Be great defensively and have crash outs on offense. You're half there with Rodgers as your quarterback. You're already
there. And you're trading for DK. Like, keep Pickens.
Just be who you are.
Don't
be proud of it.
Kajad, it's off.
Oh. We were robbed.
We were robbed.
What could have been a fun season with the Steelers? And so we have to look at them and go, oh, they're kind of garbage still. I know Baltimore's one win and five losses, but they're still going to be the favorites because they're kind of garbage. But instead we could have had fun. Instead, no. They're still looking for a second receiver because they traded Pickens away, who's on a bad Dallas team now.
But also that removes the player that I was really more or less like, don't trade for this guy. That's where I'm still relatively okay by it.
So you're good with it.
But also, it's the team currently barricading the Chiefs at the 7th spot.
Yeah, no matter how bad you feel about the Jaguars, they are in a playoff spot and they hold that tiebreaker. over Kansas City. I am like you mentioned, fine. Like there's a lot of teams that'll
tiebreakers. They've lost a lot of head-to-head tiebreakers that are not going to bode well for them.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones here. Mike is up next. Mike, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, excited for trade deadline. Listen, I want the Bills to start taking the Los Angeles Rams approach. I am not interested in a defenseman, a wide receiver, a offensive lineman when it comes to drafting them at the back half of the first round. I would much rather, when you're in the prime of Josh Allen's career, go and pay the, use those picks to a team that's rebuilding to get a player that's proven to then boost your chance. The Rams did it. They threw away tons of draft picks. And you know what? They won a Super Bowl off of it. So let's not value these number one draft picks when you have a team that consistently drafts in the back half of the – well, actually, the back couple picks of the first round. They need to start trading those picks away, getting talent. There's no room – there's no time anymore for let's draft and develop these players – to be, you know, to work alongside Allen. Allen doesn't have, he has time. I'm not saying he's running out of time, like, you know, in the next couple of years, but in this elite window, it's limited. It's going to start regressing. So let's start adding pieces. I wouldn't care if they traded next year's number one, two. I'm not a draft pick guy. Mm-hmm. It's proven that the Rams did it. They won a Super Bowl, and I'd like the Bills to start taking that approach.
Mike, thanks for the call. I love the idea on paper because it worked for the Rams. And what also is not talked about with the Rams users, they, you know, they had to take their medicine the year after they won the Super Bowl.
They had a dreadful year after.
But then they started nailing the draft again. And now they've retooled through the draft. They do the one real quick to get, you know, guys like Vaughn and Jalen Ramsey, and they nailed that. Then they go back to the draft, though. We also kind of have the negative of this. Washington, Samuel, Tunsil, and there's another guy they went for, but I saw a Washington reporter the other night, Sunday night, talking about the Seattle loss. They used 8 draft picks on like 3 players, and they're 3-5, 3-6 now.
3-5.
And yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that Jane Daniels is probably now out for the year, and they've had to go to Marcus Mariota before, but even still.
Oh, it is 3-6.
That's the negative of it. I'm not saying Mike is wrong here. I love the idea. I'm more of a draft guy, it sounds like, than Mike is, and I like the draft picks. I like the darts at the dartboard, especially because it is, I hate saying it like this, but it is true, the cheap labor. You get potentially elite players. It's why we're talking about contracts. Chris Olave. It's why we're talking about some of those guys. You get them on very cheap contracts that you can use. Now, the problem is you got to hit, right? Recently, though, or at least this draft class, the Bills have done a pretty darn good job of that. Max Harrison through 2 games looks like a bit of a game changer on defense. Deion Walker has flat out been a game changer.
He's been fun at the very minimum to watch put up these pop plays every now and then every game.
Cole Bishop, now that Taylor Rapp's not next to him. I don't know what happened there. He just had his breakout game against Kansas City. He's a second-year player. Right. You know, Kincaid in his third year finally breaks out. But what does he look like last year if he doesn't pick up all those injuries? Maybe it's a little bit different for him, and we're all talking far more positively. I think there's a healthy balance to take with this. I think if a player becomes available that would really change you, do it. But for the most part, you probably should be adding draft picks to throw more dart to the dartboard.
So there's a healthy balance to it. They are going to trade a pick here today, probably. You don't set up the cap restructure to do nothing. Is really my best way to buy that. By the way, Diana Rossini reporting the Bills were also on the looks for Jacoby Myers. So it does look like Brandon Bean is up and we know that Brandon Bean's up and running, but it is now reported that he's been tied to something that happened today.
Mm-hmm.
So we know he's working the phones based on the reports at this point.
I love the word inquired, though. And I'm not saying anything bad about Rossini. It's just it. You hear this, and I know Bean's been brought this up too, inquired. This could literally mean Bean's like, hey, what would you want for him? Oh, that? Okay, cool, bye.
Raiders
and never talked
wanted,
to him again.
Raiders reportedly wanted a third. They got close to that in terms of draft value with the fourth and a sixth, but they wanted a third. Bean probably just go, yeah. Hey, what are you talking about here for Jacoby Myers? I want a third. Nah, dog.
I find it funny because there is a real chance here the Bills made – one phone call, maybe two, just to see, and that was it. Or, because this is what inquired means, it could mean a magnitude of different things. Or it could be the Bills are punching air right now because they didn't get Jacoby Myers and have been trying desperately and have been diligent in their efforts, and we don't know which it is.
And you know what it is, though? You also Say they were interested, right? Say they wanted him. You're also fighting against a team that has 13 picks entering the day.
Yeah, they're going to do a dance a little bit better than you.
So the Jacksonville Jaguars were like, yeah, we'll throw an extra pick in there. Why not?
Very much the opposite of the New Orleans Saints, who come in today with five.
The Jaguars still have 11 picks after that trade. Three in the third round, by the way.
And they did some dancing, this past draft to go get Travis Hunter.
Yeah, they don't have a first, but they have three thirds.
Mm.
Wild stuff.
Wild stuff. They may not have a quarterback, though, and that's kind of the most important thing. Let's go back to the phones real quick before our next timeout. JJ is up next. JJ, how we doing?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to say something real quick about draft picks regarding both the Bills and the Sabres. Number one, the Bills are standing on the cusp of a title. And you have to be pretty young if you can even stomach the word future or potential and be a Buffalo sports fan. You got to be younger than like 35 or 40. Okay, number one, they're standing on the cusp of a title. Send away whatever draft picks you have to. If you need to rebuild it after they go off in a blaze of glory, we'll deal with that later. It is time to win a title. Now, as far as the Sabres are concerned, they have more first-round draft picks in their organization than any other team in the National Hockey League, except maybe Chicago. If the Sabres are playing as well as they are and they have an opportunity to bring in some experience, which they need, send away the draft picks. The Vegas Golden Knights have only drafted four players in each of the last three drafts. Goes to show you how many guys actually make the NHL. Mm. The Sabres should be sending away their picks for different reasons, but both teams should be sending away picks at this moment. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
JJ, love the call. I think what's funny with this for me, Derek, is, as I just mentioned with the Bills, like I'd like it to be a little bit more of a balancing act. Mm-hmm. I'm the complete opposite with the Sabres. I am, like, for the most part, trade away your prospects, trade away your picks. And it's for it's because it's different reasons.
It's also because they're both kind of in the same boat in different bars.
But in different bars. Like for the Bills, though, for me, I just don't want the house of cards to tumble.
JJ says,
like you keep making the playoffs, don't botch this for one last-ditch effort at the title. Where for the Sabres, for me, it's, guys, you just need to make the bleeping playoffs. And you've got a lot of prospects that aren't getting in. Get rid of them and get NHL guys in. Let's go.
But they're also at the same point. They're mm-hmm. at a crossroads. Both franchises, they're just at different points of it.
Yeah.
The Bills, as JJ says, championship window. Make that push. Sabres. They're playing like a promising team right now. Can you bolster it, especially with the injuries at center? Should you? And those are fine balancing acts. And we're going to have to find these things out together. Very excited to see what happens throughout the day, though.
Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour as the Sabres are in action tonight at home. They will take on Utah. JJ Paterka's return, 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. We'll be right back after a quick timeout. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Tuesday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And every show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. As we've been mentioning all morning and into the afternoon, it is trade deadline day in the NFL. Deadline, though, is not till 4 p.m., and we only got the one deal, Derek, during our show, and that is Jakobi Meyers going to the Jaguars for a fourth and a sixth. It does sound like, though, from multiple reports, including Diane Rossini of The Athletic, that the Bills and the Steelers were in on that. So it does, again, multiple things are pointing to the Bills will make a move today. We all just might be waiting until closer to dinner time.
Yeah, and that was something that has been forewarned by friend of the station, Chris Trapasso. Mentioned that of like, hey, we might be looking at the 3 o'clock hour. So hold on to your butts, Bills fans. I bet there's something done. I don't know what. I'm excited to find out together. And unfortunately, if it doesn't happen, it's just, well, you didn't have enough cap space or the market really became saturated in favor of the buyers and you didn't want to pull too much to try to make something happen. I'm wondering what's going to happen there, but I also would love to see if the Buffalo Sabres
mm-hmm.
can get a win here against Utah tonight. You haven't beaten Utah since they became Utah, by the way.
That's right.
Get it done.
And now they're the Mammoth, so that's two things you got
to
get through.
Yeah, you got to get through that, and it's JJ Paterka returning to Buffalo. I'm sure that will get loud, and you know who's going to tell us more about that? Sabres Live coming up on the other side here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.